I'm Kiana, and I leveled up my business with Shopify. Once I figured out that Shopify was a thing, I never turned back. I can create a site with my eyes closed. Shopify thinks ahead of us, you know, and it thinks about the customer more than anything. Every day I'm thinking about some other new business, but Shopify is doing it to me because it's so easy to use. It's like I can't stop. I'm addicted.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
On Friday, May 26th, Podlist 6 is coming to you from the Tragically Hip Top 40 Countdown.
Hey, it's JD here, and I am fucking pumped to be filling you in on the latest Podlist.
What is a Podlist, you ask? It's a podcast playlist. In this case, it's a playlist full of Tragically Hip cover songs by our talented listeners.
Here's the deal this year. You can only choose a song that ranked from 169 to 41.
To be included in Podlist 6, you'll need to submit your WAV files either by WeTransfer or by emailing JD at tthtop40@gmail.com with Podlist in the subject line.
Are you ready to shoot your shot and become podcast famous? What are you waiting for then?
A member of the DATC media family.
Previously on the Tragically Hip Top 40 Countdown.
If you followed along through my podcast journey, you know that The Darkest One is a favorite of mine. That said, Matt from Portsmouth, what did you think of the song the first time you remember hearing it?
I remember, like I said, I bought my wife the album and we played it. And Darkest One immediately hit me because it felt slightly tonally different to the rest of the album. And again, I guess I reference it. Dave and I had a warmth to it. It's there in the lyrics. It's there in the song. It's kind of welcoming and it ushers you in. And I don't know, it felt like putting on a cozy jacket.
Hey, it's JD here, and welcome back to the Tragically Hip Top 40 Countdown. It is my pleasure to be here with you each and every Monday as we spend some time sharing stories, experiences, and counting down 40 essential songs by the hip that you chose with your very own Top 20 ballots. I simply tabulated the results using an abacus and a face bidet. A bidet for the face. Think about it. We still wash our face by splashing water with our hands, like Neanderthals probably did. Face bidet. Bidet for your face. How have your favorite songs fared in the rankings? Let me know, tthtop40@gmail.com. This week, I am stoked to be joined by Dan from Ottawa. Dan from Ottawa, how the hell are you doing on this hip-tastic day?
I'm doing great, JD. Hoping the same for you, man.
Yeah, the sun is shining here. Is it shining in Ottawa right now?
It is. It's I think the melt is starting, so we're going to be, beers on the dock soon enough.
Soon enough. Ooh, I love the sound of that. Well, let's get right into things. Let's hear your Tragically Hip origin story.
Yeah, I think like the first song that I heard would have to be either Blow It High Door or New Orleans Is Sinking. I was in a garage band at the time back in early 1990, and one of the guys brought a tape in and said, you have to hear this new sound out of Kingston. We loved it. And, you know, from that day forward, really for the next now 35 years, I've been playing the music of the Tragically Hip. The last 30 years, just with my friends and Little Bones from Ottawa.
Right. Okay. So I want to get to Little Bones and I want to hear about your experiences with that band, but I want to hear a little bit more about, you know, hearing that song for the first time. And I really loved, there's an interesting sound coming out of Ottawa or coming out of Kingston. That's cool.
Yeah.
What from there? Did you go and buy a record or?
Yeah, absolutely.
Try and get out to see the shows?
Yeah, no, well, not the shows, probably came a few years later, but we were just doing covers of various bands at the time, but we soon evolved into pretty much doing a third Pink Floyd, the guitar player's favorite. A third Neil Young, which was my favorite at the time, and then a third The Hip. And at some point, like the music that first album, and it was probably low because that, you know, just that first slide sound just hooks you, you know, and
yeah,
it's sure like does. Okay, check this out. And of course, you know, New Orleans is Sinking became the anthem. But yeah, I think probably Blow is a thing. And it starts, the way it starts with a bass too is crazy.
Well, even Gord's first lyrics are almost sort of inviting, right? They're mysteriously inviting. They shot a movie once in my hometown, and we can sort of, oh, okay, what's this about? What's the movie about? And it's like some kind of Elvis thing? What?
Yeah. I'm kind of thinking, like, is that like, did they film a, you know, an Elvis movie at Shannonville Speedway, you know, like close to Kingston? Probably
who
not.
Who knows? Yeah. You can never tell with this guy.
No, exactly.
So where from there?
I think the first album was up to here for sure. And as far as like, you know, albums that I, you know, go to, whatever, I would say it varies. It really does. Like the band plays stuff up to Phantom Power mostly, but, you know, I personally enjoy the diversity of the sound that I feel from the later albums as well. You know, like others have said here, the Hip album I put on probably depends more on the, you know, the mood that I'm in.
Yeah.
Or how long it's been since I played that that particular album. But, you know, Day for Night's up there because Nautical Disaster is my absolute favorite. And, you know, and But We Are the Same, you know, has song 34 of your top 40 and the Depression Suite. And I love Tyler's interpretation of that on the previous podcast. But I think it's great that art lends itself to different interpretations based on who's consuming the art. Mine's a bit different for that second of those three little songs, New Orleans World. To me, it could be that, you know, Gord was, you know, would always write about things that's happening with potentially within the live performances of the song New Orleans is Sinking. It's like the world of New Orleans is sinking. Consider that that song is the world. Because if you think about it, right, there's no windows in the huge rooms he played. And in the middle often gave birth to other songs like Nautical and Have a Century. And, you know, what if the song does nothing would have been maybe that moment when he's sitting in the jam trying one out.
Okay? I love that.
It seems possible that Gord was surfing the internet in the Day for Night room or the day room. Cause at the bathhouse, they have different rooms that had the motif of their various albums. So he could have been in the day room surfing the internet, looking for New Orleans is Sinking references while he's trying to figure out some lyrics for the song. So we'll see. And the thing that makes me, think about that, JD, is back at the time, our band Little Bones had demos on the internet at our website and stuff. And one of the demos that we had in there was New Orleans is Sinking, obviously. And we would often play, we still do to this day, we end the song with the rodeo song. Not sure if you know that.
Really?
Yeah. Do you know that song?
I know it very well.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we just start, you know, having fun with that at the middle. It's a good bar song, if you will, too. And
absolutely.
Anyway, so as we often do, the guys were jamming on this demo we had, and I was trying to reel them back in to get into the rodeo song. So I said, give me some Let's Go to the Rodeo, and I'm riding along. And then that, if you look at, you know, the lyrics of New Orleans World, he's got the gimme, gimme, gimme. Put me in the saddle, I'll ride, you'll see. I mean, that seems pretty coincidental. You know, that got
very
me down the thread
to
of like,
about it.
What? What? Now, again, it's probably my wishful thinking, but all that to say, there's always room on my playlist for We Are the Same.
I think so, too. Have you seen the documentary? The docuseries
yes,
on Prime?
Yeah.
I feel like that record has taken a little bit of shine. Some of the shine has come off that record because of that doc. It took me a long time to get into that record. Like, I'm not going to lie to you, but I really enjoy it now. Like, I really do enjoy it. But hearing that the rest of the boys weren't as involved sort of bummed me out a bit.
Yeah, me too. You know, Sinclair's quote, you know, you know, getting fired from my own fucking band, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And yet, you know, I like World Container. I like that Bob Rock record. And I don't know, did you listen to the Lustre Parfait record?
I did.
With Gordon?
Gordon, I thought it was interesting. And the little video clips of him, but you can kind of almost, now that you've watched the doc and, you know, and I also, like, you listen to Gord's, you know, Introduce Yourself. There's a song on there that I think it's one of for his son, where he talks about being in with Bob in Hawaii and stuff. And you can kind of actually feel like you're there almost, right? So you can, and after the document came out, it was kind of like shit. I thought they were like having like a positive experience there. And then, you know, the fact that, you know, the guys weren't doing backups and they were surprised when they got there that they were already done was, you know, disheartening a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
Me too. It changes the timbre of the records to a certain degree.
Yeah.
So let's talk about your foray into tributedom with Little Bones. When does that come about?
So we were doing, we were in a band called Conflict of Interest, and we were, like I said, we evolved to the point where we had a third of our stuff that was the hip. And at the time, you know, Road Apples was probably the first hip tribute band. They're
out of Kingston, right?
Yes. Yeah. And I think they probably know the guys, if I remember. But there's, you know, we were actually in an article in Canada Life magazine that talked, it's called On the Road with Tragically Hip Tribute Bands. And
really?
Yeah, they talked about a few of them in there. But anyway.
What is you? Do you remember?
I have it. I'll find out and let you know.
Please do. Yeah, I would like to look that up.
But at the very end of it, so they talked quite a bit about how, you know, all the money that the other guys were making. There was a reference at the very end of it that was, we think there's one called Little Bones, but we haven't been able to track them down. But anyway, that an agent basically came to us, one of the agents that we dealt with, and said, hey, you guys should spin up there's a market for it. People love it. And we were like, well, we'd like nothing better than to play that music. So I missed the Neil Young, but we always throw a couple of Neil Youngs in here and there at our show.
Oh, that's great.
But, anyway, that's how it started. And then, literally, you know, we had a couple of pretty decent shows. Like there's one up there, the Jungle 96. So it'd be 1996, 95 into 96 New Year's Eve. And Junk House and the Sky Diggers played on one stage and we played on a different stage.
Wow.
And, that was early. We were just really, you know, virgins almost at that point. But, you know, but fast forward, 35 years, there was one thing that was, it was cool. It was kind of around the time that I met the band, but the, we got, to be part of a series that was produced by, Good Company Pictures, and it aired for a couple of years on E-Channel, debuted in E-Channel and aired on a bunch of different channels, but it was called, Tribute Bands, and they had four episodes of it, you know, Rush, Sting, like the Police, Rush, Queen, and the Hip, and we were on the Hip one. I think you can still see it from our littlebones.ca website. I have it there somewhere. I think there's still a, you know, once you post something on the internet, it's there forever, right? So
unless you need to find it,
Anyway, it's there. But yeah. That was a fun experience.
I bet. So. Where has that taken you in terms of gigging and stuff like that? You guys are still at it, right?
We are. We gig, you know, 10 to 12 times a year. Like we're, are for the most part, the guys in the band all have other musical things happening for the most part. It's not like this is all we do. But we, you know, speaking just for myself, I do it because I just, you know, it's a special feeling, and not all your listeners can relate, maybe, but some probably can. But when you're playing the music, you're on stage and the audience is looking back at you with the admiration, really, because they love the music so much. I mean, to be able to, you know, pull it off. Like, you know, it's got to be sound.
It can't be campy or crap.
Yeah.
Right.
But no, but so yeah, so we, you know, we're fortunate enough actually that the audience is still into it. We, you know, the recent shows have been sellouts, and again, we, it's because we don't gig every week either, but it's just a lot of fun. It's a whole, if it's an experience that I'll, you know, I don't think I'll ever stop until it becomes not fun. And I can't imagine that happening, you know, because we've had the same kind of like the hip, like up until like 7 years ago, we had the same five guys. And then one of them retired 7 years ago. So we brought in a younger guy to bring down the average age of the band. But for the most part, it's the same. It's been the same guys since we started. Like we just, like it's
And when did you start? 95?
Our first show was in February of 95. But we've been playing for 5 years, evolving towards more and more hip all the time. But I'd say the end of 94 is when we said, let's get a set together for Little Bones. And the first gig that we got was February.
And I'd be remiss not to ask, what is your role in the band? Who are you?
I am Gord Downie.
Well, isn't that fucking cool?
Yeah. And I don't, all the power to the guys that do, but I don't do the leather suits and the hat, never have.
No.
You know,
no.
Gord's Gord and I'm me, and I love the music and I hope you love what we do. That's, can't say any different than that.
Well, you have to tell me, you'll have to give me a list of dates if you've got any coming up this year that I can put in the show notes. And also, I'm going to be making a trip to Ottawa, so I would like to, if it lined up, that would be really cool.
May the 3rd is our next big show, and we play a place called the Overflow Brewery. They're great guys. You know, we were the first band to play there. They have a big, you know, stage, full system. It holds about 400 people. And 400 people come when we play there. It's a hoot. Yeah, the Overflow Brewery. Yeah,
Overflow Brewery. 400 people jamming out. That would be so fun.
You know, and they're wearing the shirts.
The electricity.
It's amazing. It's beautiful that that's still happening. And it's also funny. You know, 30 years at it, the people that used to come out and watch us when they were in university, coming out with their buds, drinking beers, are now coming up with their kids, and some of them their grandkids. You know, like there was there was a pause there, right, where you know you have to raise a family and do this, and you don't go to shows so much. But it's a full circle.
Absolutely, I was a victim of that. Yeah,
it's a full circle. Sure. You'll eventually come back.
Yeah, I completely missed two records. Not for Plan A and We Are the Same. I completely flaked out on those records. I just wasn't, you know, in a place because I had a new baby and a second baby on the swing, and it was like,
yeah, you know, it changes your life as it should.
Yeah. So you play the music live. Have you seen the band live many times?
Oh, yeah, probably 15 or 20 times, probably. I think, again, I they're playing on a weekend and so were we.
Right, of course.
But basically but my best memory of a live show was one that I didn't attend. December the 6th, 2000. It's easy to remember the date because it's the date that our son was born.
And,
my wife and I knew we took a chance when we bought the tickets. Baby was due on the 4th of December, but our son was born that night at 7:32 and Born to Escape Is at Hand for the Traveling Man.
No.
It's one of my wife's favorite hip songs. And
well, your wife is fucking really cool.
And it's apparently very calming during labor pains. just the beat of it, just the feel. Anyway, we found this out during the birth of our first son the year before. So while we had some hip that night. Both our boys were born to Escape Is at Hand for the Traveling Man, which is kind of
that's
interesting.
That's really special.
They were escaping.
do they enjoy the song to this day, or have you let them know that secret?
Oh yeah, no, they do. I would say they're not as, they like the hip, but they're not as diehard as mom and dad. But
it's tough. The generation is tough, right? Like they just weren't.
Yeah,
we got much music.
Yeah, exactly.
We got Roadside Attraction. There was no fucking band in Canada or the States to me that was bigger than the Tragically Hip.
No,
like in the 90s.
100%. And now, I grew up on Neil and appreciate it. It's all unique. But I'll tell you the one thing though, that when you bring the boys into it, and the one thing I'll remember till I die was we were playing a big show at the Overflow. It was packed, and we were playing the song fully completely. The line where I was like, I was down bending, singing to the crowd of my father, that line basically, and my boys had run up and kind of like this to me right when I'm singing it, like there's my father right there. Like, fuck.
Oh my God.
That was like,
Yeah, nice. Lucky you didn't get so choked up.
Yeah, I just move on. Yeah. Anyway, so at that show, so I had a front row seat for the birth of my son, which I wouldn't give up. And my buddy James was a guitar player in the band. He was the best man at our wedding as well. And he got our box tickets for that show in 2000.
And you were at one of the last shows as well, right?
I took the, I got the last two shows, like Ottawa and Toronto. I just couldn't, I tried, but the whole ticket thing, never gone in like a microsecond.
Yeah.
So, they were both very, very emotional. But, and I also, somebody had, what the hell is that streaming? Before you could do live streams on Facebook and everything, there was a streaming software that people had on their phones.
I don't know.
And when
I'm a Luddite, so.
I just can't remember what it, some guys will know. But I was able to kind of, somebody posted it on the fan forum. I watched probably most of the shows from my phone or my iPad or whatever. Somebody was nice enough to transmit.
Wow. I didn't know that. No, I was really sick at the time, so I don't remember much. But I don't remember much of that. But yeah.
And again, when you see the film about it, it was like, yeah, what was behind that first show in Victoria that moved, like the stress and the emotions, be awesome.
I'm so grateful that we have what we have in light of everything that's went down. We have the national celebration that we can watch. We have the docuseries. We have Long Time Running. We have this great catalog of records. There is no shortage of live shows on YouTube. And I have a feeling like this band recorded everything. Like,
there's lots that Johnny's going to find, I think.
Are we going to find like lots of live shows? Like, I would love that.
I also like what, Gord Paul and Robbie put, their little tutorials that they put out there, like, fuck.
Isn't that great?
Yeah. Like, I just like, thanks. Could have used that 20 years ago, boys,
It'll be like, put your pinky here and it makes it a whole lot easier.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I never thought of that.
Well, imagine learning, Blowin' High Dough from, cassette tape, before YouTube was here. Like,
and lyrics.
You just have
lyrics
listen.
Either.
Oh yeah, I sang songs wrong for years until we, what? That's what that word is?
Yeah.
Or even when the young lad joined, he's like, Dan, I don't think encourage Gord's singing there. I was like, really? I've been doing that for 20 years. Sure enough, you see him do a live show on YouTube or something, like, fuck, you're right. retrain my brain to not sing that line,
Yeah, I was doing that yesterday. I was just listening to some songs, and there's some songs that I just have weird words for. Like, and I know they're wrong, but I continue.
Can't help it, eh?
So, Dan, I understand there's a moment where you interacted with the boys. You got to meet the band. Do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to meet the Hip, all except for Paul, at the Vancouver Airport in March of 2007. And I was coming back from a business trip in Redmond, USA, and the boys played Seattle the night before, and I think they were on their way to the Junos. Anyway, I remember it was during the time of You're Not the Ocean was released, and I noted to Rob that I picked up on the global warming theme of the video. And I was torn between not bugging them on their personal time, and I was torn between that and introducing myself, having been playing this stuff for the last dozen years or so at the time. And Gord Sinclair seemed to be the one that was less engaged in newspaper or PDA. So I approached him and introduced myself and that I was in a band that played their music on weekends, Little Bones from Ottawa. And Igor nodded and said, oh, yeah. Like he recognized the name, but that could just be my wishful thinking again. But I said, yeah, we always wondered if you guys are pissed off that we're playing your music or whether, you know what? And he said, no, thanks for doing that.
Flying the flag, man.
Yeah. So, well, there's another little story there where one of the live release albums, they had a broadcast happening and Stuntman Stu out of Ottawa, who was a radio announcer at the time, was to always play, come up on stage. I'd haul him up at a certain festival we played all the, 20 some years ago. And he'd always ask for Boots of Hearts. So he was on this broadcast and he was saying that, Boots of Hearts is my favorite song. It's one that all the cover bands I ask to play when they come to town. And Gord Downie said, stay away from those cover bands. And anyway, that back in the days of news groups before, the Facebook and everything else, that prompted a whole bunch of comments about cover bands. That's why I asked the question. There's actually was a reasoning for it. And I'm pretty sure that it's probably Road Apples. They know those guys. And he was probably looking across the table, looking at Sinclair or somebody saying, oh, stay away from those cover bands. Probably that's what it was. That's how I sleep at night, thinking it was something like that. Anyway, he said thanks, and they signed autographs for me. And Gord signed Thanks, Dan, Hippo 7, and Gord Downie signed Happy Days, and which was pretty common. And then I saw him again on FaceTime and at the Kensington Market show there in 2012, I think. Just after the show, my nephew got wristbands. He was there. He asked me if I could make it. I couldn't blow away my meetings. I was in town, but I couldn't make it. Anyway, I said, we'll get some shit for me signed or whatever. And so he got them to sign the CD for me. And he connected on FaceTime. When he did, he spun his phone around. So I could see the band could see me. My nephew said, hey, yeah, you won't remember, but you met Dan 5 years ago in Vancouver. And Johnny Fay leans in and says, Dan, you've gotten smaller. I can't remember what everybody else said. Downey said something like, what, are you on the moon? Like in a Schwarzenegger-like accent. Anyway, and that was, and then they signed the CD. And when Gord Downie signed it, he scratched out on the CD, he scratched out the Tragically Hip Now for Plan A. And wrote Dan plus Little Bones mixed tape. And so that's the red one there.
That's so cool.
Anyway, that's
you'll have to get a picture of that so I can put it in the show notes.
Okay. I think it's on, if you go to Little Bones on our, I have it on there.
It's on the website too?
Well, the website, yes, and Facebook for sure. On our.
Okay. I'm lazy. That's why I always like,
hey, I'll send it to you.
This is a handful doing this, Dan. Doing this 40 of these things I do.
I'll send it to you. I'll make it easy, man.
No, I appreciate it. Would you like to get into the song of the week at this point?
Would love to.
All right, we'll be right back after this.
Hey, this is Paul Langlois from the Tragically Hip saying hello. Now on with the countdown.
29er. Be anywhere.
checks over there. That's my room, and that's my sister, and that's my sister. But something we could know.
Today on the countdown, we're getting photos from the sky with a pigeon camera. Dan from Ottawa, tell me about the first time you heard this song.
You know, I'm not 100% sure, but it was probably right after I got the CD. As I, you know, I don't think it had airplay before the album came out. And I, like others, would get the CD, stand in line if we had to, on release day, and not, you know, could not wait until to hear the album. So I'm pretty sure that's what happened for this. It's been the same for all the albums for me.
Yeah. Wasn't that fun lining up at like midnight on Monday night before Tuesday when records came out on Tuesdays for whatever reason?
Yeah. No,
now they're on Fridays.
Yeah.
Fridays makes a little bit more sense to me, but. I know. I loved that when I moved to Toronto. I did that for Pearl Jam. I did that for the Tragic Way. Yep. So great. So great. So do you have a relationship with this song in any way?
Yeah. Well,
at this point,
I think when I first heard the song, it literally grabbed me after hearing the first four notes. The groove hit me right away. Like just right away, the groove hit me and I was like, whoa. And then you pay attention, you know, and it's funny. I think I remember hearing Paul talk about when Your Favorites came out he goes, I was surprised Pigeon Camera didn't make it, which is kind of funny, I thought. Anyhow, it hit me right away. Over the years, it became one of my favorites. It's also one of my wife's favorites again. And so I get to put it in our set list often, and I feel so lucky to be able to be experienced it, and it is such a groove. It's you know,
it really does have a groove.
You know, pigeon, you know, like nautical. It, and I'll often say this: it'll take you to a different place if you let it. You just got to let it go. Let it take you there. You know. Anyway.
Yeah. Pigeon Camera can be sort of mesmerizing. I love that outro. To me, is that one of the. Fully Completely is one of the first real records where they really start playing with outros.
Mm-hmm.
You know, looking for a place to happen. I think it fades, but it's an outro that fades. Pigeon Camera is definitely an outro.
Yeah.
After We Burned Our Boots with No Contingency Plan, you get that really cool, jammy outro. Yeah. You're right. I can see even without the use of any substances, you could go on a magic carpet, you know, yeah. you could yeah. be on a magic carpet ride. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I do it all the time. Without help.
Yeah, well, that's good. What is it like singing this song?
You know, I love it. I mean, it depends. Like sometimes if a guitar player has a bad day and he misses that first beginning, but normally, and it's rare that happens, but when normally it's just like, I'm hooked right away. And the audience is into it too. Like normally it's one of those songs that, it's kind of a deep cut-ish, but, everybody comes, like people that come to see the shows, you know, they know all the hip songs anyways. What we do typically play the more popular ones. This is one that we, you know, it's for me.
It's for you.
It's for me. Yeah. And there's a couple that, and not, like I said, Nautical, which is the only song without a chorus. Yeah. You know, but, those songs, you know, they'll never not be on the set list because I make the set list.
So when you play this song live, do you have the big gong? Like what do you, or do
no, you, use no, you have
crash
to,
cymbal or?
No, you have to be, I mean, over the years, I think there's been times we have, I think we used a fire bell or something, you know?
Okay.
But for the most part, as we got older, you know, we've been doing it for 30 years. You don't carry your shit anymore. And you have setups that's reasonably, you know, so you make a few trade-offs like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, but we'd all love to have all that, like even a little sound, you know, like that's in there. Like sometimes a drummer would use a little, I'm not sure even what it is, but it's a little thing with pads that he makes different sounds when he hits it. And so when those moments happen, it takes you even closer to it. So it's pretty cool. But no, for the most part, we try to be efficient about it, I guess. And just, but I'll tell you get into it and you look around and everybody's playing their part and you look at the audience and they're like looking up at you and they're fucking singing every word. It's so cool.
Yeah.
It really is. Like
there's nothing like playing live.
No. And nothing like the audience into it. Like that's, you know, there's times when you play, and it's like, thank you both. You know, every musician's had that, you know, like depending on where you play, but, even the hip, if I remember their stories about Renfrew.
Yeah. Yeah. They definitely talked about it. Even in the song, Love Over Money, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
They talked about it. So do you have a line at all on what this one's about?
Well, I think
the museum has some interesting things to say about it, but I'm interested in what Dan from Ottawa has to say.
Yeah, I think over the years, I think, first of all, Gord does, you know, he captures all the thoughts in his little book and has his multicolored pen and he captures things and he applies them, you know, whenever the opportunity presents itself, I think. But this one, I think, over the years, I think there's been at least three different themes, if you will, to it. The actual spy camera that apparently was seen by Gordon, trip to Washington Museum and all that. The reference to incest. And finally, the other one about the relationship between Quebec and the rest of Canada at the time. I think
that's where I always leaned in.
Yeah.
That's where too. I always leaned in. Yeah.
You'll see that's where I lean too. Depending on the listener, you could probably thread these three together differently. Yeah. So it could be a combination, but I'd have to say the national unity theme fits it best, in my opinion. Anyway, and the reason for that is, you know, remember 1981, Quebec was led by René Lévesque, the Parti Québécois at the time. He refused to sign the Canadian Constitution that was repatriated from Britain. And later on, when, you know, and the Quebec Liberal Party was leading the province in the mid-80s, Brian Mulroney attempted to address it through the Meech Lake Accord. And the accord looked to bring Quebec into the Constitution. And it also recognized Quebec as a distinct society, which did not fit well with all, you know, including Pierre Trudeau. But to be successful, the accord had to be approved by mid-1990. But it failed. It was not ratified. So Quebec and national unity was no doubt still topical at the time when Pigeon Camera was written. as it was as well, the year previous, it was Road Apples and Born in the Water. Some references there, right? So if you actually look at the lyrics and put it through a national unity lens, if you will, you know, it was Hands Up at the Auction, the album we got at home, it grew up into something we could no longer contain, you know. Bilingual country made a lot of sense back when the Constitution was conceived, but there were folks thinking that, you know, that comes at a financial cost, you know, that's hard to contain. It's almost like you thought you were getting one thing, it turned out to be not as expected, you know. Where's our prison camera? By now it could be anywhere. And after all that training, that was something we can no longer contain. You know, it might be a stretch, but potentially the camera is somehow a metaphor for the golden ring of national unity. And that the effort and investment were lost with the failed Meech Lake Accord. It's boring. I'm embarrassed. Don't endorse that. Stand on my face. I didn't want this. These lyrics appear more than once in the song. And, you know, things that are mundane and repetitive could lead to being dull and embarrassing, could fit the national unity theme since the accord failed, you know, 1990, just 2 years before the release of Pigeon Camera. But it was after about a decade of, you know, tough discussions on regarding unity. This house has politics over there. That's my room. That's my sister. Was something we could no longer contain. Again, they keep coming back to something you couldn't contain. Now, the incest theme fits on that one, but it also fits the national unity theme. If you see Quebec as your sister province to the rest of Canada, to the rest of the family. And it's like, you know, we burned our boots with no contingency plan. I think that's pretty simple to me. It's just so much time and effort went into, you know, bringing Quebec and the rest of Canada together that when the Meech Lake Accord failed, you know, there was no plan B. So, you know, all in all, I think national unity is probably the closest fit for me. But again, the beauty of Gore's lyrics is that there may be multiple interpretations.
Oh, that's right. If I had 40 people do this episode, there'd likely be 40 different nuances, you know, maybe not straight up themes, but different nuances to those themes, I think. And that's the beauty of this fucking band.
Yeah, exactly. 100%.
Really?
Yeah, you know, and, you know, we always talk about Gore's lyrics, but the music, you know, and how they thread it together,
yeah,
whatever way they did, it's just, yeah. Again, Neil was my favorite. I think they're my favorite, you know, but it's, you're allowed to have more than one favorite, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, on that note, Mr. Dan from Ottawa, I am going to bid you adieu. It has been wonderful to talk to you today, and I really appreciate your time. You've got some homework to do for me. You've got to get those gigs, and you got to get me that picture so I can put it in your show notes for you.
Will do.
But other than that, I really want to thank you and wish you good luck in the future. And hopefully maybe we'll see you at the October 4th show in Toronto. But definitely, seeing as you're part of a band, I hope we see you represented on Podlist 6, which is where we solicit cover songs from bands, and then we put them in a podcast. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking about maybe Thompson Girl. I saw it on the list.
Oh, do it.
Yeah.
Do it.
All right.
All right.
Yeah. Thanks.
Well, thanks for stopping by. Pick up your shit.
Thanks for listening to the Tragically Hip Top 40 Countdown. To email us, send an email to tthtop40@gmail.com. We're social. Find us on all the socials at tthtop40.
Podcasts and such.